The Prince and His Nerd by Screamlet. A Toronto Maple Leafs Royalty AU. Read by Momotastic. This is a birthday gift for Freckle Bomb. William hated marriage proposals. Correction. Crown Prince William hated royal marriage proposals. Once William had turned 21, it was open season on the prince's hand. And now, 2 years later, it had become something of a meme for the sickeningly wealthy to propose to William, whether they meant it or not. It was just something done. Bidding on the hand of the sovereign's eldest grandchild with hopes to marry into some wealth and stable infrastructure and that ass. Still, William would have liked if someone had actually meant it. Won't you wake up my heart for you, Proposals fell into two categories, pragmatic and extravagant. Pragmatic proposals involved some other royal family sending a chancellor or some wealthy individual sending a lawyer to meet with William and state why William should accept their suit. Cash and stock options, sometimes horses, always palaces and or mansions. Never someone who actually knew him or liked him. His peers, even the royal ones, were still too young to have firmly established themselves enough to take a spouse, but they were old enough to be given as spouses. Even if William were in love with any of them, chances were slim they would be allowed to publicly declare a relationship, let alone marry, for several years. Anyway, as it stood, none of them were marriage material, and William was in love with none of them. Extravagant proposals were lavish wastes of cash done for the publicity, so that some influencer or maniac billionaire could take a break from poisoning the oceans to say that they had proposed to a prince, even if they were never seriously considered. It was enough, wasn't it, to draw the eye of the crown and have it swiftly deny a proposal. If William never again had to see a fireworks barge travelling through the Ritafjorden, filled with gawking strangers while his name or his face or whatever was lit up in flames, and people laughed at him and the spectacle of his life, it would be too soon. Proposals fucking sucked. The first exception was Nicky, or Nicholas, baron of some sheep farm somewhere, honestly it's beautiful in the spring or whatever, House Buckstrom.
I'm only doing this because my family strongly suggested it,
Nicky informed him. You talk to your boyfriend with that mouth? William asked. Be nice to me, asshole. I'm sick of marriage talk. You have to take me out to lunch if I'm ever to speak to you again.
When will you be in Washington? I'll take you out to lunch and propose there.
Nicky wasn't like other royals. For one thing, he wasn't deeply insufferable. William knew this because he had known Nicky all his life. William's father had been some kind of mentor when Nicky briefly played hockey for the Swedish national team, so William had known him since he was a child. Nicky supported William in his annual attempt to also play for the national team, and that meant the world to William. Nicky was also already not very secretly engaged to Alex Ovechkin, the captain of the Washington Capitals. I think my family deliberately makes me travel during the hockey season so I don't get any ideas, William huffed in the car to their lunch destination. Out of sight, out of mind doesn't exactly work in the 21st century.
You're still coming to my suite for the game tonight, aren't you? It's still early in the season, but the Leafs are playing and they're always a disaster.
The Leafs are good now.
Sure. But everyone is so young that there's always a sense of desperation, horniness, and sadness when they play.
What the hell are you talking about? They're my age.
Nicky gave him a long look, and William punched him in the arm.
It was mid-afternoon, so Nicky bought out a Shake Shack for 3 hours. They ate and talked and laughed until Alex showed up after practice,
ready to eat and talk and grin at William with his broken-toothed smile and stare at Nicky like he was the most beautiful man on earth. Clearly, hockey was already taking a toll on his mind.
"Marry him, William," Alex told him.
"And then what?" William asked.
"And then I don't need to make an honest man of him. You do what you want, we'll do what we want, and we'll see each other for the big holidays."
"It's not the worst idea," William said.
"You forgot the part, Sasha, you asshole, where you're the love of my life, and I've been telling my family this for 11 years now. I'm not going to give them what they want now."
"It's true. You have so many more years to outstubborn them into the grave."
"I appreciate the proposal on his behalf, Hockey Chancellor of Washington." Alex laughed uproariously and unwrapped another burger.
"No, really. At least you were sincere about it."
"What idiots. Who would waste a moment once they were granted a second in your presence?"
William made sure to look very impressed. He glanced at Nicky, who was staring at Alex and deeply annoyed.
"You save that shit for me," Nicky demanded.
"But William needed it. Don't be so selfish, Nicky. Your prince was sad."
Nicky looked less mutinous. William offered him some cheese fries in apology.
"Come on, finish up," Nicky said, almost kindly. "We have to get back to the house so we can nap before the game."
Alex didn't wipe his mouth as he pulled Nicky in and kissed the corner of his mouth. Nicky grunted, then elbowed him in the stomach and grabbed a handful of napkins.
"You have to sleep with him, you know,"
William said, motioning to the two of them. Alex laughed.
"I like living on the edge." Stop my world, slow it down for a minute. Be my eyes, let me see why I'm in it. And wake up my heart for you.
The Toronto Maple Leafs weren't interested in Kyle Dubas. They were interested in at Kyle's hockey math. Stats were a thing people whispered about considering when evaluating their players and organization. At Kyle's hockey math had a dry sense of humor, swore mildly, kept their somewhat progressive politics close to the vest, remained neutral on named politicians, and had a real knack for the numbers thing. The Toronto Maple Leafs offered an in-person interview to Ed Kyle's hockey math. They didn't expect Kyle, Duke of a large portion of Ontario, to show up with presentations on several topics relating to hockey and analytics, each one concluding with a slide that said, "Hire me, cowards!" That was 4 years ago. In the time since, he could have been named the GM for the team, but lawyers and counselors on both sides advised there would be no end to the conflicts of interest. Instead, His Grace Kyle, the Duke of Ontario, remained the Director of Analytics and Research and the unofficial liaison in, "Oh look, they're all royals here, handle them, Your Grace, LOL." "Oh look, there are royals here," someone noted in the management box at Capital One Arena. "Handle them, Your Grace."
"Fuck off, Ted,"
Kyle replied. Kyle asked a tech in their box to pull up the view on one of the secured center suites. He knew Backstrom had a permanent suite, but asshole Ted had said royals, plural.
"I don't know who that is," Kyle muttered. "Who is that other guy?"
"If you don't know, the fuck if we do."
"I said shut up, Ted."
"You said fuck off, Ted."
Kyle laughed and shook his head. "Back in a few. I'm going to use this nice lull in the caps giving a shit to go say hello." He took the time on his interminable walk around the arena to search his mental roster of the inbred morons who made up that other part of his life, but no such luck. Mystery guy looked young, really young, and really blonde, and Kyle just couldn't place him. Truthfully, he was more annoyed that there was someone in the peerage who liked hockey enough to sit in Backstrom's company for several hours and who Kyle didn't know on sight. He needed more people like that. People who knew hockey and knew the peerage and didn't think either half of his life was a massive fucking joke. When he arrived at Backstrom's suite, security let Kyle and his detail through.
Backstrom was already standing, grabbing himself another beer, while his mystery guest had his back to Kyle, helping himself to whatever dinner they had ordered.
"Kyle, good to see you," Backstrom said. "Let's drink to Ovi falling flat on his ass after trying to check your Austin. It's pure comedy out there."
"Shit, I missed that? God damn it." Kyle sighed and took out his phone to check if anyone had sent him gifts yet.
"Yeah, I'll have a beer. The guys upstairs have been talking my ear off all night."
Mystery guest approached him at the bar, balancing a stack of taquitos on his plate. He raised his eyebrows at Kyle and looked to Backstrom.
"Nikki, you animal, introduce us."
"Yeah, do that," Kyle said, though whether the words actually came out of his mouth was really suspect because he couldn't breathe. Who the fuck was this guy with his blondish hair hanging in his face like all of Kyle's worst 90s preteen crushes? Who was the absolutely criminal stylist who had painted this outfit on him? Who stole Kyle's favorite perfect blue crayon right out of his grade school memories and used it to color this motherfucker's eyes? Who the fuck was he?
"This is William," Backstrom said easily. "Crown Prince William of Sweden, blah, blah, blah. He outranks us all."
He handed Kyle his beer and looked to William.
"William, this is Kyle. He owns Ontario, I guess."
"That's me," Kyle said, like a fucking idiot. "Taquitos are good?" William took a bite of one and stared at Kyle.
"In general, sure. These, they're okay."
"Right, yep. I've just... you know, I spent so many nights at so many arenas, seeing so many games. The taquitos all kind of blend together."
William nodded thoughtfully.
"Right, well, there's more if you want."
Kyle nodded back, then looked at Backstrom, who was smirking at him. The sour-faced asshole who never emoted unless he was at gunpoint or Ovechkin was talking shit.
"You must like hockey a lot if you're at arenas so much," William said.
"Oh, yeah, I love hockey. Who doesn't?" Kyle said.
"William, he works for the Leafs," Backstrom said. "He's not just a fan."
"I'm a fan," Kyle protested. "But guilty. I also work for the team."
"Didn't know the Leafs needed any royal advising," William said. "Is the owner trying to get knighted?"
"No, no, I do stats. Performance analytics is the really hot stuff, but my team monitors everything across the organization. Players, personnel, operations, social media. If there's numbers, I'm probably involved. Advising mostly, but they still let me at the visualizations sometimes."
Kyle offered what he hoped was a smile with teeth. William raised his eyebrows, though Kyle couldn't tell immediately if he was impressed by his work or impressed that someone had babbled at him for more than 10 seconds at the time. To make it worse, he turned away from Kyle to look at Nikki. Kyle couldn't see his face or reaction, which was probably a terrible sign.
"I'm gonna get some taquitos," Kyle interrupted, "since they're here, and I'm here, since we've ended up here in the same place at the same time."
That was definitely Backstrom's laugh as he turned away to examine the spread.
"Kyle, I say this as a casual friend who only sees you half a dozen times a year. You need to get out more."
"Getting out is for other people, buddy." Kyle snatched up a taquito since he was going to commit to this bit until he died, probably. He glanced back at Backstrom and William, then smiled.
"Not for us."
William's expression softened a little, his mouth less mocking and his eyes gentler than before. His eyes may have even lingered on Kyle. He was feeling a lot of things, but hopeful wasn't one of them. Kyle returned to the visitor's management box, grabbed another beer, and took a seat at the far side of the counter overlooking the ice. His assistant brought his laptop over, and Kyle put his phone face down on the counter, then took a sip of his beer before he got to work, learning every single thing about Crown Prince William of Sweden.
"You find your mystery man?" Ted called out across the room.
"Crown Prince William of Sweden," Kyle replied.
"Isn't that the Ice Prince?"
Kyle finished the word he was typing, then turned in his seat to face Ted. He took another drink and waited for Ted to keep talking, which was inevitable.
"You didn't..."
"No, Ted. Tell me.
He goes viral every few months. Well, not him, but his proposals. All these crazy rich people show up wherever he is to propose to him. Fireworks, billboards. He was at some tournament and an asshole bought the Jumbotron and played his fan video he made of him and the prince photoshopped on beaches together. Shit like that. Poor kid, can't catch a break.
Kyle almost spit out his drink.
That's him? Sweden? Sweden is responsible for that nonsense?
Ted shrugged.
Hot, rich, royalty, famously single. You know a lot of guys like that?
Kyle did not.
Anyway, he's the Ice Prince because he's been proposed to like 50 times since he turned 21, and he's refused them all. Even proposals from real royalty like you.
I can't blame him since everything you've told me in the past minute sounds like the stupidest bullshit I've heard today.
Kyle turned back to his computer and began setting up a new notebook for Crown Prince William, which now included that he was a meme, and how did Kyle miss that?
I guess I would have seen him at Worlds, but we're always too busy in May for me to make the trip, goddammit.
You okay, bud?
Fine, totally fine, Kyle said as he created topics in his notebook such as peerage background, family history, friends, relationships.
The proposal thing?
I'm working on something, so yell at me if something interesting happens on the ice.
Sir, your grace?
The suite tech was holding an iPad up for Kyle, a view on the Backstrom suite he had just left. The iPad didn't matter, since the view was up on the Jumbotron in a few seconds. The one of Nicholas, Baron Count Fuck-something of Some Sheep Somewhere, holding up what looked like some random cardboard with large and truly butchered Sharpie lettering.
Duke Kyle, can I get your number?
Kyle widened his eyes as he stared. Then he leaned in a little. There was Crown Prince William, sitting in his seat next to where Backstrom was standing, foot up on the railing, clapping and laughing his ass off. Ted laughed.
Hey Kyle, your grace is on the Jumbotron.
Kyle immediately put on his most charming royal smile and laughed, hoping that cameras couldn't catch that he was sweating bullets and extremely horny for the 22-year-old Crown Prince of Sweden.
I'm so fucked, Kyle whispered to himself as he smiled for the cameras.
Kyle woke up hideously early the next morning and found the text from an unknown number on his phone.
Nice meeting you last night. Good to know there's another hockey obsessive in the global peerage out there. I'll be in Toronto next week. I'll see if our ambassador there has a good recipe for Swedish meatball taquitos.
Jesus Christ, I'm the taquito bitch, Kyle muttered.
Hey, great meeting you too. Team's traveling until Tuesday, but there's a bunch of home games after that. Come to as many as you want. Have your staff call my staff.
Kyle stared at his phone and took several centering breaths, trying to gauge where he fell on the scale from stupid to deranged. Your staff call my staff. What the shit was language?
Do the Leafs keep you too busy for dinner?
Kyle fist-pumped and took a lap around his kitchen island.
Hell yes. The Crown Prince of Sweden wanted to fuck him or laugh at him inhaling some tortellini. Either or both were wins.
Name the place and time and I'll drop everything to embarrass myself with food again.
Oh no, you found my ulterior motive. It was really funny though, smiley face. Nikki thought so too. Yeah, he would.
Kyle had a date. William arrived in Toronto 10 days later, and Kyle's complex dossier was complete, thanks to his staff's info-gathering when he had to go back to obsessing over his job. He limited his own searches to the public domain and left his staff to inquire after any buried scandals,
just in case William had literally murdered someone and Kyle was next. He hadn't, as far as they could tell, but if the dick was good, Kyle wouldn't mind dying by the sword, so to speak. The prince invited Kyle to his hotel downtown. Kyle had been there 1,000 times, but never when it was locked down for visiting royalty. Apparently Kyle was too much of a local nuisance to bother locking any part of Toronto down for him. The sovereign's suite was familiar to Kyle, though, since it was one of the most secure in the building and the place where his parents stayed when they visited the city. "I would have taken you out to dinner," Kyle said as they enjoyed their drinks in the sitting area of the suite. William took one of the armchairs and Kyle took a seat at one end of the couch, the closest seat to William. "Oh," William said. "Yeah, I don't do that." "What, have dinner?" Kyle made to get up and William laughed. He leaned over to grab Kyle's wrist and make him sit down, like that was necessary. Kyle put on his best cool bluff face, the better to enjoy William laughing and his cheeks turning a hot, bright red. "Yeah, I try not to have meals out in public with people. Nicky bought out a Shake Shack for me, and he's one of the exceptions, since my family likes him and he hates the marriage nonsense as much as I do. There's always someone watching for gossip, or someone's trying to set up another proposal, so..." William looked around for a moment, then shrugged. "It's all right. Pay a restaurant enough, and they're more than willing to come over and put a meal together wherever I want, so it's not all bad." "You think that'll change?" Kyle had his drink in his hand, whichever basic-ass hotel cocktail popped into his mind first, and he glanced down quickly at the glass before he looked at William again. "When you're married? Or engaged, even?" "Oh, it better change once I'm married. I hope I can actually live my life soon, when someone younger and more beautiful pushes me out of the spotlight. Has to happen, right?" Kyle let his eyes linger on William, smirking, as he said, "I wouldn't count on that." William smiled back at him. "Fuck you, you fucking flirt." Kyle took an extremely innocent sip of his drink. "What are you after, anyway?" William asked. "Do not enough people tease you about how bad you are at improvising?" Actually, that was exactly the case, and Kyle tried not to show his surprise. "I wasn't improvising. I was making conversation." "That night I met you," William clarified. "You didn't know me and stammered about taquitos before you rushed out the door and disappeared into your laptop. The arena's an oval, you know. We could see you from our seats." "I didn't know you were looking." William raised his eyebrows. "More fool you." Kyle laughed and put his drink down on the coffee table. He took a moment, then leaned forward and pushed the coffee table about a foot away from the couch. William watched, put his drink down on it, then climbed into Kyle's lap, the coffee table well out of the way of William's surprisingly long legs as he settled on Kyle. As Kyle got his bearings, steadying William with his hands on William's hips, William cupped Kyle's face in his hands and stared at him. Kyle took a breath and stared back. William was searching, but he knew he was being searched, too. Kyle saw miles and miles of want. At not just the right Kyle within an inch of his sanity on this couch, with both their security details in the bedroom, well within hearing. He could see William's loneliness, too, something he saw often enough in the mirror every day. William leaned in and kissed him, his hands moving to Kyle's neck so his thumbs could brush against the sensitive spots under his jaw. Kyle kissed him back, trying his best to pull William into the kiss and against his hips. He pulled William's meticulously tucked shirt from out of his suit pants and rested his hands on the bare skin of his back, holding William tight and listening to William's soft moans. This would teach both of them to dress up for dinner. But that was part of the job, wasn't it? To look the part in addition to the crushing loneliness and hooking up with near strangers who relied on Kyle's discretion as much as he relied on theirs? Kyle broke the kiss to breathe, one hand on William's back as his other palm at William's dick through his pants. William tried not to wince, but he was rock hard and laughing about it as he kissed Kyle again. "Do you want to take this to your room?" Kyle asked. "The one right over there without our scary security guys in waiting?" William nodded and leaned in to kiss Kyle again, pushing himself into Kyle's arms, making himself moan as he rubbed his dick against Kyle, who was surprised he had even found the words "your room," though the thought standing and walking 20 feet to the bedroom was becoming increasingly difficult. Of course, just as Kyle found William's belt buckle, William pulled away and climbed off of Kyle's lap. He tried to make it look easier than it was, but then William threw a grin over his shoulder at Kyle as he entered the bedroom. He was taking off his suit jacket in a doorway, shaking out his hair, and his smile was so warm and happy and sly, like he had stolen exactly the thing he wanted. That was ridiculous, since Kyle had made it absolutely clear he was there for the fucking and the taking. Kyle took a breath, then another, and then followed William into the bedroom, gently kicking the door closed behind him. Truly goddamn amazing things about HRH, the Crown Prince of Sweden. The way he had mastered his eyelashes fluttering when he came on Kyle's dick. The way his skin always seemed to glow, no matter the place, no matter the lighting. The way he shook Austin's hand and asked in his best polite royal voice, "And what is it that you do?" The way he cracked up when Austin cracked up, unleashing a hideous little cackle chuckle that made Kyle's heart melt and his dick twitch, like, just on this side of too much for a work event. The way he texted back either within 5 seconds of receiving a text or 12 hours later, never in between. The way he grinned when Kyle got excited about something extremely niche and stupid that William absolutely didn't understand. The way William and Cappy met and had gone from mortal enemies to best friends in 90 minutes without revealing to Kyle a single step in that dance. The way he had trained his bodyguard to capture his best angles, perfect to send to Kyle when he was traveling. The way he had no compunctions whatsoever to screaming as Kyle fucked him. The way he gently suggested Kyle visit his own stylist because his haircut looked just a little rough around the edges in a good way, but Rudolph is so good, I promise. The way he patiently watched videos his advisors had sent him, more proposals from around the world, Japan, New Zealand, and 3 in Russia alone, and how his expression would dim as he watched, and the way he moved into Kyle's arms, like Kyle made it better without actually fixing his unfixable problem. It was, to Kyle's surprise, a long list, growing longer with every visit William made to Toronto. Less to Kyle's surprise, more to realization that he didn't want the list to end. William's family knew about Kyle. His siblings, his parents, his grandparents, the king and queen, his security detail, yes, everyone knew about Kyle. William was too scared to take that any further, with his family or with Kyle. It shouldn't have mattered, since William had only just turned 23. His grandparents said that he didn't have to rush into anything further with anyone. It was important he take the time to establish himself as a firm diplomatic presence on the world stage who took his responsibilities seriously, as well as his charity and outreach work. All of that was a laugh, of course, since they had been the ones to usher William into this new stage of life, the one where his hand was on sale to the highest bidder and society saw him as a laughing stock. And then he had met Kyle. Maybe they would officially approve of Kyle, especially since he was significantly older and established in his own, somewhat lesser, no threat to the crown, right. However, one of the requirements of the William's husband position was that they live in Sweden, particularly as William prepared to ascend the throne. It required them to support wholeheartedly that William would become the king of Sweden, and that could happen in 30 years or next week. Would Kyle be willing to live like that? Kyle wasn't a prince in line to inherit his own throne, so he could, but would he be willing? A different question that William was also afraid to ask. Saw a new trip pop up on your calendar. Chicago's practically next door. For once I could come to you. Things are quiet here.
William wanted. Wanted so much. And wanted him.
Yes, please.
It's late. What are you doing up?
IDK. I was sleeping, but just checked my phone.
Want me to call?
William stared at the text, sighed to himself, and typed, yes. Look at her face, it's a wonderful face, and it means something special to me. Look at the way that she smiles when she sees me, how lucky can one fellow be? Hey, you alright?
Yeah.
It's 3 a.m, pal. Don't know who's adding shit to your calendar at 3 a.m. in Stockholm.
It was probably Lydia at the embassy in Chicago.
Alright, makes sense. When am I gonna get editing rights to your calendar?
William couldn't help but laugh. You want that?
I want anything you're willing to give me.
William sucked in a breath. God, Kyle, you can't just fucking say shit like that.
What? It's... I know it sounds like a joke, but it's not. You should know that by now.
Should I?
Is this because I called you pal?
No, I know that's Canada talking.
William turned on his back and sighed, rubbing his hand along his face.
I don't know. I can't sleep. I'm not making any sense.
Yeah, hey, okay. I get that. But I'm serious, Will. I'll say it again. I want anything you're willing to give me.
That, in a nutshell, was the trick of being the Crown Prince, and William was surprised that Kyle knew it, or seemed to know it. Kyle was a duke, and anything lower than a sovereign in his own right meant that he could never ask William for anything. He could only hope that his wish was granted or whatever. That nonsense didn't apply to the secrets of their life together, where Kyle begged for William's mouth, or asked what William wanted to eat, or grabbed a remote out of the Crown Prince's hand and then held it over his head until William pushed him over and dove straight into kissing him. That nonsense did apply to their official relationship, and any steps they took together where anyone could see them. Kyle, when he spoke again, was gentler than William had ever heard him. It was like he was right there in the room with William, like he knew how dark it was in William's room, how quiet it was in Stockholm at 3 a.m. How a normal speaking voice could scare the moment and startle them both into ignoring this was happening.
Anything you're willing to give me. I'm here, William.
I want you. I know it's only been... God, it's been one hockey season. Fall to spring. And I know I'm young, and maybe it's because of all the ice print stuff and people clamoring for pieces of me and you...
You'll be in Zurich next month. Tell me when you're free and I'll come to you.
No, Kyle, I don't mean... I mean I always miss you.
I know what you mean. Find me 2 hours. I'll be ready.
William stared out the window of his bedroom, feeling a strange mix of baffled and reassured. Maybe it was trust. Maybe this was what trust felt like. He didn't quite understand what Kyle was going to do. But he trusted that it was something that William needed. He hoped, actually, that he knew what Kyle was going to do. Okay. That's in 3 weeks, Kyle. Think about it. And think about me. I'm young and...
I'm always thinking about you. From the moment I saw you hanging out with Backstrom, some royal hottie whose name I didn't know...
Oh, shut up. You're not always thinking about me. I've seen that graphing calculator you keep on your desk that you've had since high school.
That graphing calculator is our friend. I showed you all the formulas to draw dicks on them, and you act like that's not a gift.
William was quiet again, but he was smiling. He hoped when he spoke that Kyle could hear that. Skip Chicago. I'll see you in Zurich in 3 weeks.
Okay. I'll see you in 3 weeks. Get some sleep. We'll talk in the morning, okay?
Okay. Good night.
For 3 weeks, nothing changed. William traveled and Kyle worked. William hosted events and smiled and wore suits and loose-fitting slacks with polo shirts and smiled, and Kyle worked. They texted and FaceTimed and emailed and sent each other stupid videos and memes. Kyle said that too many of his hockey players dropped by his office every day to talk about the hilarious thing William had said, and Kyle wondered who would get the Toronto Maple Leafs in their divorce. It was a joke that made William pause and smile, then laugh too hard as he said he had already contracted Austin, Mitch, and Zach to come to the SHL next season. Kyle choked on whatever he was drinking and called it attempted murder. For 3 weeks, they were themselves. In Zurich, Kyle was waiting for him outside a community garden, eyes fixed on his phone as he typed furiously. William watched him for a long moment, then walked towards him, security in tow. Dozens of people had walked past Kyle on the bench, but Kyle looked up as if he knew William was coming. He brightened when he saw William, but his lips were pressed together in a fine smile as he got up to meet him. Kyle motioned to the entrance. "Should we take a walk?" William nodded. "The gardens are beautiful, and there's a great view of the city from inside." "Lead the way," Kyle said, and William did. They walked for a while without saying much. They stopped at some of the garden plots and features, pointed out interesting and funny things to each other, snapped photos, but not of each other, and walked. They were both doing their best to ignore the tension between them, but the garden was only so big, and Kyle had said he wanted only 2 hours. "So here's the thing," Kyle began. "Back in my suite, I've got the mother of all presentations. I've got charts and graphs, some stupid little interactive features. I brought brain-shaped stress balls branded with my coat of arms. I got a little Carlton bear wearing a tuxedo. Okay, maybe it's just a polar bear wearing a tuxedo, like a little groom, and legally he can't be named Carlton, but I don't give a shit, and I named him Carlton." William laughed and slipped his hands into his pockets so he could avoid holding Kyle's hand. If anyone deserved it, in public, in Zurich, it was this fucking idiot. "I've got a presentation on the history of Ontario and my family's claim to it. I've got an overview of your family on the throne. I've got projections for pretty much every area that might be affected, positively or negatively, by a potential marriage between the Crown Prince of Sweden and the Duke of Ontario. Will, I did focus groups. Most people just pack a carry-on bag." "I know, right? My point is, I came prepared to do one thing in Zurich." They stopped walking and faced each other on the stone path. William glanced down and saw that Kyle's hands were in his pockets too. There they were, William thought, both of them refusing to hold each other because they were both fucking idiots, and this was why the world was a broken and awful place. Because fucking idiots couldn't just admit they were hurt and scared and needed a hand sometimes. William held his hand out, palm up. Kyle looked down and then looked into William's eyes as he placed his hand gently on top. William nodded and covered it, clutching Kyle's hand in both of his own. "I know you did. It's funny you say that you came prepared." William glanced away and tried to clear the lump in his throat, the tears forming in his eyes. It was beyond him how so many asshole strangers could do this to him without a feeling for him as a person. "I can do this alone. If the worst should happen tomorrow and I took the throne, I could do it alone. I could put aside my life for my country and I could find my own happiness later, when I settled into my responsibilities. I could do it alone, but fuck. I don't want to, Kyle. I don't." "I know you could," Kyle said, nodding eagerly like the absolute nerd who had strolled into Nikki's box months ago and babbled about bar food and math for 10 minutes. "I know you're smart and dedicated, you're calm and you're so steady. You don't need anyone to play the game for you." William nodded. "Of course I don't need anyone to play the game for me, but I would like someone to play the game with me. And I hope, depending on how good your presentation is..." "Shut up. You know it's awesome,"
Kyle whispered. Depending on how much your proposal impresses me.
William looked down at their hands, still pressing Kyle's hands between his own. He looked at Kyle again, through his thick glasses and into his hopeful eyes. God, he looked hopeful, like he wanted William to ask him. Like he wanted William. It was so obvious, and yet so shocking, still, after all this time, that someone was with him in a situation with a marriage proposal, and they wanted to hear what William had to say, and whether they had a future together. William finally took a breath and looked at Kyle.
I hope that you would consider marrying me, William finally said. And it'll have to be a long engagement, and we'll have a lot to...
Yes, Kyle said. I said yes. I already... Yes, I'll marry you.
All right, calm down. I heard you.
I mean, did you? Because you just kept going and going and... God, that was fucking stressful.
All you had to do was stand there and not laugh at me. And now you have to shut up and fucking kiss me.
William was prepared for another 5 or 10 minutes of bickering with Kyle. But then Kyle's hands were on him, on his hip and on the nape of his neck, pulling William close and kissing him. It was absolutely too much kiss and too much tongue for the middle of the day in downtown Zurich. But William clutched Kyle and held on, kissing him for the first time in what he hoped would be their happily ever after. Kyle broke the kiss when one of the security detail cleared their throat to get their attention, but then Kyle pressed his forehead to William's and laughed again.
Does that mean you don't want to see my presentation? You'll have to rehearse it for me before we take it to my grandfather. Don't worry, I'll heckle you in all the right places.
I wouldn't accept anything less.
What happened to anything I'm willing to give you?
Heckling's free. I should get as much of that as I want.
William grinned and kissed him again, because that was a promise he could keep.
The end. You've just finished listening to The Prince and His Nerd by Screamlet. If you enjoyed this story, please leave some feedback for the author on AO3. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Momo Pods on AO3. Thank you to Screamlet for giving blanket permission to Podfic. The song used for scene breaks is Wake Up My Heart by The Afters. Thanks to Rox for suggesting it. The song for Kyle's ringtone on Willie's phone is She's My Kind of Girl by ABBA. Thanks to Ara for suggesting ABBA, and thanks to Del and Vidriana for helping me figure out which song would fit best. Thank you to Tiny Pink Mouse for helping me with the pronunciation of Rita Fjorden. And last but not least, thank you to Anna Potts for giving feedback on the cover as well as beta listening to this on short notice. Without you, this would not be the best version that it is now. This podfic was recorded in June 2019 as a birthday gift for Frecklebomb. I will also be submitting it to Podfic Bingo for the squares Rare Pairing, AU, and Try Something New for You. And now, for some actual reader-free talk. First of all, happy birthday to Del! I hope you have the bestest of days, and I hope very much that you enjoy this little podfic I recorded for you. It's from your bookmarks, so I'm optimistic that you will actually enjoy the story at the very least. It is honestly pure coincidence that I recorded another Royalty AU as a birthday present. I mean, Royalty AU is one of my favorite tropes, so that part is not a coincidence. But when I saw this in your bookmarks and then after reading and loving it, I just could not resist. I just love all the Willy pairings now. Also, the irony
That it was you who became my proxy to help me figure out the perfect ringtone for Kyle is not lost on me. Like, when I made that tweet, I knew there was a good chance it would be you who'd respond to it. But yeah, such are the dangers of making requests like this on Twitter where your gift recipient can see them, I guess. Speaking of that ringtone, there's no mention in the story of a ringtone whatsoever. It's just Kyle calling Willie and Willie picking up. But I felt like a ringtone would go well there and sort of break up the tension just a tiny bit. I don't know if that was a good call to break up the tension or not, but I just feel like for me this would read as, you know, super tense conversation and texts. And then Kyle calls and we're all reminded what a goofball Willie can be. And, you know, we have this little moment of fondness for Willie putting in this ringtone. And also, like, it's a little bit meta because Willie just loves Kyle so much. And he probably loves ABBA so much. And then this just goes together. And then they continue to have their tense conversation. So for me, personally, this works because it just adds to the gravity of the scene. And I hope the rest of you guys who listen to this agree, and that it wasn't really jarring or anything. Also, and for the actual song, I kind of went back and forth between The King Has Lost His Crown, The Day Before You Came, and She's My Kind of Girl. And then Vidriana, through Del, suggested that Honey Honey could be an option. And I was like, yeah, that sort of works. And then I was like, what about She's My Kind of Girl? And eventually Vidriana was like, yes, that could also work. And I'm super happy with that choice now. But yeah, Honey Honey was a strong contender. And I'm 100% convinced that Willie has different ABBA-themed ringtones for different people. Just, you know, everyone has an ABBA ringtone, a different one. And Willie knows exactly who got what ringtone, because he picked them for a reason. Yeah, so several hours of debating what song to use for 15 seconds of sound effect. That's the kind of level I go to when I feel like something has to be perfect. And the main song for this part before the scene breaks is Wake Up My Heart, like I said. And it was a lucky find. Well, it was a lucky find in that I remembered to ask Rox for songs that could work for this kind of scenario, and then Rox suggested it, among other songs. And I love how some of the lyrics fit, and I tried placing them as well as possible. It wasn't always easy, and especially not as easy as I had hoped, because a lot of the lyrics fit the second half of the story, but not so much the first one. So, like, once the two of them have met and start getting together, the lyrics really work. But before that, you know, you have to do a little bit of creative interpreting to see why I put them there. But the thought is that you listen to the scene, and then the bit of the song that I put after it picks up the mood of the scene and carries you into the next scene. Yeah, so that much for the music. For the cover, I'm super happy with how this came out. It's probably the most minimalistic cover I've ever made, but I just love it. I should probably go as simple as this more often. I tried making it busier. Like, I debated putting in the cross on the Swedish flag in a different color on the cover, but then went back to the original just plain background with the font and the two little stamps on it. I debated whether the background should be the same blue as the Swedish flag, but in the end, the contrast between the Swedish flag yellow and the Leafs logo blue was nicer. And it also has a bit of a meta level where it's like, you know, it's half Leafs and half Sweden, because first of all, both of them in real life are, you know, with the leaves, but also Willy is Swedish. And in this story, Kyle is, he works for the leaves, and the leaves do play a part in the story, but Willy is the actual prince of Sweden. So it just sort of married these two things together in the cover. Just like Kyle and Willy will be married together at the end of the story. Ooh, see what I did there. Speaking of the story itself, it's such a lovely twist on the modern royalty trope. Like, usually it's an arranged marriage that works out by surprise. Or it's an arranged marriage that gets broken up before it's even, you know, before they're actually married, because one of the spouses-to-be falls in love with someone else, usually a commoner. And in this case, Willy was free to choose, but got proposed to all the time and didn't like any of them because none of them made it about him. They all just made it about his title, the meme. And then he luckily falls in love with someone of appropriate standing, and a new conflict arises because neither of them think they're allowed to want to be with the other. It's just perfect when it's Willy who ends up proposing rather than... I mean, Kyle was prepared to propose. He's got his fancy presentation. I really want to see it. But it's actually Willy who asks the question in the end. So yeah, this story just has a lot of the things that I enjoy, like angst and pining and different types of media mixed in. And I honestly hope I did these characters justice. I'm very uncertain about Willy's and Kyle's voices because I did not do any kind of research beforehand to get their cadences or the way they speak right in any way. And I really should start doing that, I know. All I knew was that Nikki had to sound kind of bored and deadpan, probably sort of annoyed all the time. And Ovechkin had to be exuberant and flirty because that's his characterization in every single fic I've ever read. Yeah, I think I probably fucked up a little bit on Willy and Kyle. I'm pretty sure I switched their voices halfway through, but yeah. I mean, Anna didn't really pick up on it, so I'm guessing it's all right. But if that's something you caught, then congratulations, and I'm sorry. It's also only my second time voicing Willy, and my first time voicing Kyle. So I'm still figuring out how these voices work, and maybe I'll do some actual research before I record another Willy podfic. Because I'm sure I'm gonna record another Willy podfic. I just love this guy too much now. Alright. One more note on why I pick the bingo square. Try something new for you. Because I'm sure that every single person who has ever listened to another podfic of mine will think, well, Momo, what the fuck is new with this one other than Kyle? Because, you know, I did all my usual things. I used all the sound effects and the music, and I've done all of that before. And the only new component that you picked up on was Kyle. But what I actually did, which you do not hear because such is the editing process, I, for the first time, edited visually during the first pass. And if you don't know what visual editing in Podfic or any audio work is, it's that during recording, whenever I messed up, I did this. Like, I snapped my fingers. So that it would create a spike in the audio. And then I could just go through the audio and look at the track and see where this spike is. And then just edit at that part. I messed up a couple of times while messing up, because sometimes I forgot to snap my fingers, so I did at least two more passes to edit this, but it still went a lot faster this time around than it did before, so I'll probably do it again if I can remember to actually snap my fingers every time I make a mistake. But yeah, that is the thing that was new for me, in the creation of this podfic. And now I finally end this free talk here. I have a couple more outtakes to amuse you in a second, so if you want to listen to me being exasperated at surprise Swedish words, keep listening for another minute. If you want to stop here, or if you stop after the outtakes, thank you for listening this far. I'd love you forever if you left me a comment or kudos on the AO3. It can be anything from feedback about the recording to just telling me what line you thought I performed best. Literally anything, just even key smashes are more than appreciated. All right, I'll stop now, I promise. Thank you for listening. Bye! If William never again had to see a fireworks barge traveling through the Ritter... Oh, fuck. I'm gonna guess that pronunciation. But they still let me at the visualizations. Oh, who puts words like this in their story? William arrived in Toronto 10 days later, and Kyle's complex dossier? Who the fuck knows what I did with these voices?